yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us.
Turn your Bibles with me. Let's look at some few scriptures quickly. Come with me to the book of Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 10 verse 1.
And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits.
He gave them what?
Power.
Against?
Unclean spirits.
Unclean spirits here, we call them persons without bodies. Everybody say unclean spirits. Say demon spirits. Are persons without body. Say they are disembodied spirits. They are spirits. They are persons. But they don't have body. And they need body. Their number one priority is to have a body through which they operate. They can't operate without a body. You remember the man at the Gadarene, possessed by legion? When Jesus saw him, he said, "Who are you?" And the demon said, he said, "My name is Legion." It means we are 6,000 of us. We are many. The Roman legion comprised of 3,000 footmen, 3,000 horsemen, which brought it to 6,000. So there were 6,000 demons embedded in the spirit of one man. That is how large our spirit is. So you are a spirit, which is the image of God. You are a soul, and you live in a body. And please understand that demons cannot operate without bodies. The greatest fight and battle is over your body and over my body. The Bible said, "A body hast thou prepared for me." So even God cannot operate on earth without a human body. Tell somebody, God needs your body. And Satan also wants your body. Why? Because, hear me, you have to understand this. These are fundamentals. You have to understand it. Demons are not allowed to operate on the planet earth without a human body. God is not allowed. He cannot. Because he's a spirit. God is not flesh and blood. So God himself is not allowed, he's not permitted to function here on earth without a human body. That's what the Bible says. A body hast thou prepared for me. Who? For God. And the Bible says, for God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Now, Jesus was born in a manger. It's one of the problems of the Jews, that they are still expecting a Messiah to come, and the Messiah has come and gone already. There are three comings in the coming of the Messiah. The first coming when he was born, second coming rapture, third coming when he comes finally to rule and govern the earth for 1,000 years before the new earth and the new heaven comes. Now, in order for him to make the two comings, he had to come the first time by the womb of a woman, because the womb of a woman is the legal entry to the planet. You can't come to earth without the womb of a woman. That's why they call the earth Mother Earth. In order for you to come to this world, the legal entry point to the planet is the womb of a woman. So Jesus had to be born to give him the legal access to earth. And he needed to come because he needed flesh and blood. So he can live in the flesh and blood as his vehicle on earth to carry out his assignment on earth. Because without flesh and blood, you can't function here on the earth. So the devil wants your body. He wants your emotions to work through your emotions against others. He wants your mind so he can think through your mind against others. He needs your tongue to speak through your tongue. Lying spirit work through the tongue. So Jesus gave them, go ahead.
He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases.
Before healing all manner of sicknesses and diseases, what was the first thing he gave them power over?
Demons.
To do what?
Cast them out.
And after casting them out, what was the next thing after that?
Heal.
So, what does that mean? It means that the demons or the evil spirits are responsible for the sicknesses and the diseases of a lot of people. I'm telling you. And it's not just what the Bible is saying. I know it by experience because I've dealt with situations where when we attack the spirit responsible for the situation and commanded the release of the person, immediately they were released. I know what I'm telling you by experience. Not just by revelation of scripture, but by practical and experiential knowledge. I'm telling you that a lot of the problems we have, behind a lot of the problems, there are demons behind it. I want you to know that you have power over unclean spirits. You do have power over unclean spirits, but you don't know it. And I just came to remind you as a messenger of God that you have power over unclean spirits. Say, I hear you. Let's go ahead. Mark chapter 9 and the 17th verse. Mark 9, 17.
And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit.
You see, so there is what? A dumb spirit. A dumb spirit. Somebody said, my son is dumb. There is a spirit responsible for that dumb spirit, for the dumbness. A dumb spirit. Write it down. A dumb spirit. So you can take the person to the best hospital in this world, and they can do surgery, prescribe every kind of medicine, and the person will never be cured unless you cast out or expel, say expel, the dumb spirit. The person will never be cured. Now, as much as I believe in medical science, I have to tell you that it's not every situation that medical science can answer. They don't have solutions to a lot of things, I'm telling you. Most of the problems a lot of you have in your life, behind this is a spirit. It's a demon. And you can say whatever you want to say. I'm just telling you by experience. I know what I'm telling you. It's a demon. It moves from one generation to another generation. We've given it all kinds of names. They say hereditary, hereditary. Father had this, mother had this. It's in the blood, it's in the blood. I refuse to let the demon that afflicted my father afflict me. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I rebuke that spirit. You are prohibited. You will not carry out the assignment you carried out in my father's life, in mine. I rebuke that unclean spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus. Be prohibited. Say, I prohibit it. Dumb spirit. Mark chapter 9 verse 25.
When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him.
He rebuked the foul spirit. So there is a foul spirit. Go ahead.
He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit.
Thou what?
Dumb and deaf spirit.
Thou what?
Dumb and deaf spirit.
Thou what?
Dumb and deaf spirit.
So there are children even born dumb and deaf, but it is a spirit that has possessed them and blocked their ability to hear and to speak. It's a spirit. So you can take them to the best hospitals in the world, and they take them to all kinds of schools. And there's all kinds of scientific breakthroughs today that helps children that can't speak and can't hear to read and to do all kinds of signs. But the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, the church has failed in our assignment, because one of the major assignments of the church is to cast out devils. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And one of the main reason for which he came, the Bible said, watch this, the Bible said, for this purpose the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Go ahead, let's look at another scripture. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22 to 23.
Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw.
You see? So there's a spirit of blindness. Demons can make you blind. I'm telling you. They can make you blind. We rebuke any spirit of blindness. We rebuke glaucoma, any spirit that is in operation right now to steal your sight and your vision. And we're not just talking about physical blindness only. They can also make you blind spiritually.
And so you go, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give.
There is no way you can heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cause the lame to walk, and not cast out devils. The devils are the reason for the situation. They are the reason for people getting sick. I'm telling you. Demons make people sick, and they make you tired. They make you weary. They can cause you to be discouraged. Bad emotions. I'm just telling you. I've been in situations where at some very kairos moments in my life, I just felt sick. Nothing wrong with me. But I know I was not myself. I wasn't myself. I wasn't well. And I had to say in the name of Jesus, whatever is responsible for the way I feel right now in my body, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lose your hold over me right now. I break your power over me and you are dismissed. And I send you to the place of divine appointment and suddenly I'm fine. Now, it confirms the scriptures. And I know that something... And demons are very intelligent. And let me tell you how I know this. They study you. They learn you. That's why we have familiar spirits. They are familiar with the particular DNA of your family or your bloodline. Okay, Matthew chapter 9 verse 20. Matthew chapter 9 verse 32 to 33. 32 to 33.
As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil.
With what?
A devil.
A dumb. Somebody dumb under, you see, that word possessed, the real translation here is somebody dumb under the influence of a devil or demonized. Say demonized. Under the influence of what? A what?
A demon.
Talk to me. A what? A devil. So the demon or the devil was responsible for the dumbness. Go ahead.
And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel.
When what? When did he speak?
After the spirit was cast out.
When did he speak? Somebody talk to me. When did he speak? So what was preventing the speech?
Devil.
Whatever is preventing your breakthrough, whatever is preventing your healing, whatever is preventing your blessing, whatever is preventing your miracle and your testimony, I command it to come out. I command it to come out. Say out, 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 out. Say out. When the devil was cast out, the man what? Spoke. Mark chapter 1, verse 23 to 25.
And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit.
A man what?
With an unclean spirit.
A man under the influence of an unclean spirit, or a man demonized. Go ahead.
And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?
He what?
Cried out.
Who cried out?
The demon possessed.
Good. You are good. I like this. I love this. I'm doing well. You are well taught. It wasn't the man that cried out. Who cried out? The demon in the man did what? Cried out. Go ahead.
So let us alone. What have we to do with
thee? The word let us alone means Jesus, leave us alone. Why are you troubling us? Why? They don't want to be exposed. The devil hates this kind of teaching and preaching. I'm telling you. It is dangerous to be ignorant. I'm telling you. All the problem you and I have, every problem we have is a result of lack of light. I'm telling you. Every problem you have, I have, is a result of lack of light. Because where there is light, you can see your way clear. And when you see your way, there are some things you won't accommodate it. You won't live with some things. You won't allow some things. But the reason why we live with some things, accommodate some things, coexist with some things, is because we can't see. But today, may your sight be recovered. May your eyes be enlightened. May you receive fresh light, illumination and revelation. For there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him illumination. May the spirit in you be illuminated. For the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now may the Lord light your candle. May the Lord light your candle. May the Lord light your candle. When he said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, it means that God will guide you and illuminate and enlighten you by your spirit, not by your head. That is the problem of people. You can't understand God with your head. It is, the Bible said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So God will enlighten you, direct you, guide you, speak to you through your spirit and not your head. And that's why the devil wants you to have sense knowledge and secular education, but not spiritual education. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. Mark 1, 27, quickly.
And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him.
You see, unclean spirits. Please understand this. Most times, spirits don't walk alone. If you watch, deaf and dumb spirit. For instance, where you see anger in operation, you can have anger. You can have a problem of anger and not have a spirit of anger. But most times when you see a spirit of anger in operation in somebody's life, the next thing you see is violence. And after violence is murder. They work together. Where you see fear, you see torment, you see torture, you see harassment. Spirit of death goes with the grave and hell. They work together. Unclean spirits. They work together. We don't. Look at 1 John 5, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Let me show you something quick.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
You see, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. If you, when you see people in the church, they can't relate and they don't relate to anybody, they are not walking in the light. Because if you are walking in the light, I dare you. It does not matter what the situation and the offense is, you will always have fellowship with others. It is only when you walk in darkness that you are isolated. Isolation leads to elimination. And most times, and when people are about to die, you watch them carefully. When they're about to die, they start moving away from everybody. Start having problems with everybody. The enemy isolates them because isolation leads to elimination. He cannot. The reason, look at Samson. Samson was a loner. Samson was alone. And it was easy for him to die, for them to get him, because he was a loner. He was all alone. It is dangerous to be alone. It's dangerous to be alone. And I'm not saying because it's dangerous to be alone, you should be with everybody. You have to know who you are with. You must find out whether they are like-minded people like you, whether they believe the same thing you believe. Because if they don't believe the same thing you believe, it becomes conflict of destiny. And it doesn't matter how much you like the person or the person likes you, it is not going to work. Because you see, the Bible said, thou shalt not yoke the ox and the donkey. You can't yoke the horse or the cow and a donkey. It doesn't work. You know why? They are wired differently. So if you put a yoke on the neck of a cow and a donkey, you're going to have problems on the field. It doesn't work. That's why the Bible says, be not equally yoked. It's not just with unbelievers. You can have two believers. They all love God, but they have different destinies. And they are wired differently. And their destiny is in different directions. So if you yoke the two, in the name of what God has put together, let no man put asunder. They will frustrate the will of God for one another, and they will sabotage God's original intent and destiny for one another, and it will be life imprisonment with hard labor. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. Mark 1, 27, quickly.
And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him.
You see, unclean spirits. Please understand this. Most times, spirits don't walk alone. If you watch, deaf and dumb spirit. For instance, where you see anger in operation, you can have anger. You can have a problem of anger and not have a spirit of anger. But most times when you see a spirit of anger in operation in somebody's life, the next thing you see is violence. And after violence is murder. They walk together. Where you see fear, you see torment. You see torture. You see harassment. Spirit of death goes with the grave and hell. They walk together. Unclean spirits. They walk together. We don't. Look at 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. Let me show you something quick.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
You see, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. If you, when you see people in the church, they can't relate and they don't relate to anybody, they are not walking in the light. Because if you are walking in the light, I dare you. It does not matter what the situation and the offense is, you will always have fellowship with others. It is only when you walk in darkness that you are isolated. Isolation leads to elimination. And most times, and when people are about to die, you watch them carefully. When they're about to die, they start moving away from everybody. Start having problems with everybody. The enemy isolates them because isolation leads to elimination. He cannot. The reason, look at Samson. Samson was a loner. Samson was alone. And it was easy for him to die, for them to get him, because he was a loner. He was all alone. It is dangerous to be alone. It's dangerous to be alone. And I'm not saying because it's dangerous to be alone, you should be with everybody. You have to know who you are with. You must find out whether they are like-minded people like you, whether they believe the same thing you believe. Because if they don't believe the same thing you believe, it becomes conflict of destiny. And it doesn't matter how much you like the person or the person likes you, it is not going to work. Because you see, the Bible said, thou shalt not yoke the ox and the donkey. You can't yoke the horse or the cow and a donkey. It doesn't work. You know why? They are wired differently. So if you put a yoke on the neck of a cow and a donkey, you're going to have problems on the field. It doesn't work. That's why the Bible says, be not equally yoked. It's not just with unbelievers. You can have two believers. They all love God, but they have different destinies. And they are wired differently. And their destiny is in different directions. So if you yoke the two, in the name of what God has put together, let no man put asunder. They will frustrate the will of God for one another, and they will sabotage God's original intent and destiny for one another, and it will be life imprisonment with hard labor.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship.
He is in the light as he is in the light as he is in the light. God is light. And if we walk in light as he is in the light, that is when we have fellowship one with another. And we have fellowship with those also who walk in the light. So you can't walk with those who walk in the darkness or in the dark. You can only have fellowship with those who walk in the light. Go ahead.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son.
Then cleanse. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That is what guarantees cleansing. When we are fellowship with one another, we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus from all sin. All right, let's go on quickly. Let's move on. Mark chapter 1, verse 32 to 34.
And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils.
You see, all that were what? Diseased, and all that were demonized. Right.
And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him.
You see? Anywhere you see him heal diseases, sicknesses, next thing or before then, demons, devils, they are responsible for those stuff. They delight in afflicting people. They take pleasure in hurting people and killing people. I'm telling you. They love it. Same Mark 1, 35, 39.
And he preached 39. In their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils.
He did what?
He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils.
They have over hundreds of synagogues throughout all Galilee. And the Bible said he did what? He preached in all the synagogues and did what?
Cast out.
He did what?
Cast out.
He did what?
Cast out devils.
Turn to somebody and say, you must cast out devils. Cast them out. Say out. Every Christian denomination, Jesus is the head of the church. And I'm telling you that the head of the church, of the Christian church, no matter what kind of denomination you belong to, that is the head. And he preached, like I'm preaching, in all the synagogues across Galilee. And he did what? Exalting the saints, making them happy, teaching three steps in prospering, seven steps in breaking through, two steps in getting your healing, five steps to be prosperous. But he did what? He did what? Verse 39. Eh? 39.
And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils.
Okay, look at the Great Commission. Jesus, the Great Commission. What he said before he left this earth. He charged us. Look at the commission, the instruction of the Great Commission. Mark 16, 17 to 18. Hear this.
And these signs shall follow them that believe.
Mm-hmm.
In my name shall they cast out devils.
Stop. What is the first sign? Come on, talk to me. What is the first sign? How many believers do we have here? Come on, wave at me. How many believers do we have here? Are you a believer? Yeah. If you are a believer, then you have authorization to cast out. These signs shall follow them that believe. Any believer here? What is the sign? It's not when we teach or even when we prophesy or even when we preach or even when we pray. The true sign that you are a believer of Jesus is when you say in the name of Jesus, you unclean foul spirit, come out! And they start coming out. He said that is the first sign that everybody will see and will know that you are a believer. May you live here tonight casting devils out from your workplace, your office, everywhere. You got to cast them out because you have the authority. Say, come out! These signs shall follow them that believe. In my word, name, they shall what? And number two,
they shall speak with new tongues.
They shall speak with new tongues. But hear me, do you know why a lot of believers are born again? They're born again and they don't speak in tongues. You know why? Because the demons are hindering them with all kinds of things. I'm telling you, I'm speaking to you. Amen. Let's go to Acts chapter 8 before we pray. Acts chapter 8, verse 5 to 7. Look at something. Acts 8, 5 to 7.
Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed.
You see? When did the healing take place? When the unclean word, spirits did what? Cried out, and the word came out. Then all these other miracles follow. So it stands to reason as a logician that what was the cause or was preventing the healing was those unclean spirits. Tonight, every sickness is going. Every sickness is leaving your body. Every infirmity is coming out. Every disease is coming out. Because the demons responsible for those conditions have to leave your body right now. They cannot stay. They are coming out. They are leaving you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you will not be killed. Say, I refuse to be killed. Go ahead. Let's look at a few scriptures quickly before we pray. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus is the only one who the Bible called an evangelist. And the next one is Philip. These are the only two evangelists in the whole New Testament. Jesus and Philip. Nobody else was called an evangelist. It was only Jesus and Philip. Look at Luke chapter 13, 11 to 13.
And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years.
A woman who had what?
A spirit of infirmity.
So there are spirits of infirmity that can take residence in your body and in your soul. And look at what the spirit of infirmity did to her. Watch this.
She had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together.
She was what? Bound together. That word bound means crippled. a crippling spirit. I'm telling you. So spirits of infirmity can bind you. Tonight, anyone bound by spirit of infirmity, be loose. Be released. Be released. Be released from every spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus. Be released. Spirit of infirmity that has bound you. Crippling spirits responsible for paralysis, strokes, diabetes, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, whatever it is, we command spirits of infirmity to loose your body right now, to release you right now. In the name of Jesus, every spirit of infirmity responsible for that affliction and that virus and that situation with your spine, infections, come out. Name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 17 to 19. Quickly.
And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Mm-hmm. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Aren't you excited about this? Aren't you excited? He said the demons are subject to us through your name. So it is not about us. It is about the power of Jesus' name. They must submit to the name. They have to submit. And he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Those are two dangerous things in the church. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts 10, 38, quickly. Acts 10, 38.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Now hear me. Healing all that was what? Oppressed. Healing all that were what?
Oppressed of the
so
devil.
So what was responsible for the sick he healed? Spirit of oppression, demons, devil, oppressing people. And Jesus came to heal all that were oppressed of the devil. Every oppression in your life today is lifted in the name of Jesus. Every oppression in your life today is broken tonight. As you hear the sound of my voice echoing right now, I command every oppression to break. I command every oppression break. I command your healing right now. Now, look at one more scripture. Look at the scripture, and I'll give you a few things, and we'll start praying right now. Look at Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. Acts 19, 11 and 12.
And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Saul. By the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick.
From his body, he sweat. Look at it.
Were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them.
You see? Disease did what? Departed from people, and evil spirits left them. So what was responsible of the diseases? Evil spirits. Some of you are going to receive impartations. You begin, hear me, listen to me. You are going to begin to feel heat rising from underneath your feet. Some of you, it will be like they pour ice water or ice block on your head. You feel this cold thing just going through your body. Some of you, it will be heat. Some of you, it will be your hand. Some of you begin to sweat. Some of you, your eyes will become ready to burn like fire. Those are all different kinds of indications of different healings and things. And some of you, you look at somebody like this and they'll begin to run and they'll start screaming and running. I'm telling you. Write down these things, some of the areas the enemy fights us. When it comes to the mind, spirit of insanity can control your mind. Spirit of insanity. Spirit of confusion. Spirit of confusion, your mind. Spirit of indecision. indecision, procrastination, spirit of doubt, spirit of unbelief, all of these works on the mind. Doubt, unbelief, procrastination, confusion, insanity, indecision. Emotions, depression, grief, heaviness, spirit of heaviness, spirit of grief, sadness, sorrow of heart. They are all spirits and influences. Fear, restlessness, anxiety. Then write a spirit of fear. There's a spirit of fear. A spirit of death. There's a spirit of death. Spirit of infirmity. Spirit of blindness, deaf, and dumbness. You have all that. We're going to start praying right now. And Proverbs 25:25, the Bible said, as cold water is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Tonight, there is an intervention. There is an intervention in your finances, in your health, in your relationship, in your marriage, in your investment, in your business, in the economy of this country, in the governance of this nation, on the borders of Ghana. There is an intervention of the Almighty God. Now, lift up both hands right now. Any condition in your body, in the name of Jesus, right now, say any demon, unclean spirits, responsible for any condition in my body, in the name of Jesus, you are exposed. You are uncovered right now. You can't hold me at ransom. You can't bind me anymore. I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, it's time to leave. It's time to come out. It's time to go. Right now, in the name of Jesus, as I stamp my feet and clap, I command unclean spirits, come out. Open your mouth. Command them. Come out.
Come out. Come out.
Out.
Come out.
That's the word. Out.
Come out.
Out.
Come out.
Loose them.
Come out. Come
out. Release them.
La paria.
I command your release. Command them to come out. Let them come out now. Every crippling spirit, every spirit of infirmity, every spirit of affliction, every spirit of oppression. Now, lift up your right hand. Put Proverbs 25:25 on the screen. Lift up your right hand. Say, any point of contact, break. Say, every technicality, legalities, and covenants that gives the enemy and unclean spirits the right to harass me, to torture me, to buffet me, to oppress me, to exact on me, to make me weak, tired, or sick. Say, I squash every technicality. I squash legalities. I annul every covenant that gives the enemy the right to oppress me, to attack me, to hinder me. Let the technicalities and the covenant be annulled.
Prayer is the opportunity to fellowship and commune with God, to make your requests known to Him and experience the manifestation of God in your life. Introducing Prayer Moves God, a new book from Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams.
I'm Archbishop Duncan Williams. I'm so excited to announce to you that one of my latest books is out, Prayer Moves God.
Prayer Moves God will reveal the dominion mandate, God's original plan for mankind. It will help you understand the rules of engagement to be effective in your prayers. It will also teach you how to partner with God and be instrumental in the coming revival. Prayer Moves God is sure to revolutionize your prayer life and put you in position for your personal breakthrough. Prayer Moves God by Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. Get your copy today.